Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you could join us today. Today's talk is entitled Security in a Changing World. And I had a really, really great talk planned around that very topic. It's still about that today, but it's taking a little bit of a different direction in the last few hours. You see, we have an idea about what life is supposed to be like. And we start unlearning what it's like to be in spirit sometime, probably about the time we start walking. We forget. And we continue to forget throughout our lives. And our spiritual practice is about bringing us back to remembering and remembering and remembering again. That's what we're doing all the time. Our moments of our most discomfort, or when that has left us altogether. And so we experience discomfort about our finances, about our careers, about our relationships, about our health, about the conditions of the world. And as Anne so beautifully expressed this morning, it's important for us to center ourselves back in God and see things rightly, to change our gaze a little bit. I was a little off my mark this morning by not starting the service the way I'm supposed to. And that is just a reminder to me that no matter how many times I practice something, I'm going to sometimes stumble, just like we do about everything. As a matter of fact, those of us who are in this profession make sure that when we're doing a wedding, a memorial service or funeral, when we're doing our Sunday mornings, we keep at our availability, the Lord's Prayer and our continuous affirmations and these things, because we never know when somehow that brain cell is not going to be accessible from our memory and we're going to drop something. So yes, if I'm at a wedding and I'm supposed to pray the Lord's Prayer at the request of the bride and groom, I have it written out, because I can mess up. So that's just a real-world example of what I'm talking about here in order for us to find our way back to what we originally knew and what we continue to know deep down. We just get these layers over it, layers of doubt and brittle beliefs and anger and fear, and it covers us up, so that we're not seeing and thinking and being clear. And today's talk about security has taken on a different meaning. You see, we ask God for healing, but God doesn't heal. And I know that that's contrary to what we always think and say. God is life, period. And life includes everything. Life includes wholeness, even when our physical body is not doing what we would like it to do. I want to share with you from the book that we've been studying, Spiritual Economics. Just want to share with you a little passage from this book by Eric Butterworth that speaks about health. God doesn't heal, God is life. Consciousness heals as it accepts the flow of life. Consciousness heals as it accepts the flow of life. That kind of puts a different focus on it, doesn't it? I also read something this morning. I like to read Father Richard Rohr from the Center for Action and Contemplation. And he quotes Matthew Fox today. And Matthew Fox said decades ago something that, you know, the rest of us are catching up to. Matthew Fox said, God initiates the compassionate gaze. I love those words. God initiates the compassionate gaze. In other words, compassion is a human quality, but its origin is that consciousness of life that I just spoke about. And so it's important for us in our spiritual life to remember that compassionate gaze on us, that we're loved, that we are filled with God life, no matter what, in order for us to feel secure with everything else that's going on around us. It's important for us to remember that when we see physical evidence that things are decaying, deteriorating, dying, shifting, God is life. God is life. God is life. And we're bringing our consciousness into alignment with that all the time. It's especially important that we do that today. And I have permission to share this journey with you. There's a beautiful soul that was part of our spiritual community here for a long time as our youth and family ministries director. Her name is Santa Garcia Heineman. I'd like you to see her face. This is Santa with her husband Matthew and with their children, Wheeler, Wesley, and Eliana. And her son Isaac as well. Sorry, I don't have my glasses on. Isaac's in the photo. Her four children. Look at that smile. I rarely saw Santa without that smile on her face. She and her husband, Wesley, and their children moved to Fort Collins, Colorado a few years ago. But they've still stayed very connected to this community. Santa had a battle with cancer when she was much younger. And that cancer came back a couple of years ago. And she has had a gracious journey with cancer, sharing her story, shining her light, smiling that smile. And now Santa is on her way out of this life right now. Right now. I found out this information last night. We knew that her days were coming to an end. I found out last night that it's soon. And I texted with Matthew this morning to let him know that throughout the night last night, every time I shifted in my sleep, I was praying with them. And Matt called me this morning. And I got to speak with him for a little bit. He's a dear man, an outstanding father, and the perfect companion for Santa. So much joy and so much love in that relationship and in the children they created and the children that they've raised together. This morning, Matt was getting ready to take the three younger children to Santa to say goodbye to her this morning. That's an unthinkable task. But Matt is centered and real and feeling everything that you would expect him to feel, and yet he's still in that consciousness of life. He's in that consciousness of life. So my friends, one of the things that teaches us so much is death. And it teaches us because it is still mysterious to us and because we're still reaching, trying to remember the life beyond this body. Because we had life before this body and we will have life after this body. And because we're so grounded in the lower energetic quality of the flesh, it's easy for us to forget. And yes, we would have loved to have seen Santa cured of cancer. But instead, she is making a journey into a fullness of life that we are still trying to understand. And if we can look for healing, she's healed. She was healed before she ever got cancer again. She's healed today. She is on her way into that glorious reunion of all of her atoms back into the universe. Isn't that an amazing thought? I watched a series on Netflix the last couple of nights that surprised me in the direction that it took, because there were some great theological discussions in it, and one of the characters actually voiced what I believe about the life after this body. I was like, yes, yes, that's it right there. That's it. We're returning to that from which we came. Pure light energy. Santa's on her way there right now. Even now. Her body is beginning the process of shutting down its systems, like turning off the lights in a house, like turning off the servers in a giant computer room, closing it down. She's 43 years old, my friends. Her children are young. And you know what they could require right now? Is for us to continue to hold that consciousness of life with them and for them. Because it's hard for us to imagine these children going through the rest of their life without their mother present in it, in the way that she has been. It's hard for us to imagine that, and it's easy for us to say, oh, those poor kids. But don't stay there very long, because it's more important that we lift them up. They don't need our sympathy as much as they need our strength. They don't need our sadness as much as they need our affirmation of life that is rich and full and going on. They need not only our memories of who Santa was in this life, but they need our memories, if you will, of who she is now. Because who she is becoming as she lets go of this body, we are and were that as well, and we will be. So you see, memory implies past tense. And that is just a time construct that we put on something that is happening actually all at once and in its fullness. And if I'm speaking in mysterious terms today, it's because I don't have sufficient terms to describe the consciousness of life, just as I don't have sufficient terms to define God. There are so many meanings to that three-letter word. Start with the fact that God is an English word. And God has many, 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 many names in many languages, in many concepts, just on this planet, much less to describe the great creative urge of the entire universe, which is beyond our grasp. So if you're still hanging on to a God that has a human form, God that has a human voice, God that has a limited definition, I invite you to start letting that go. As scary as it might be, Because in order to live life fully now, to live in the security of the consciousness of life now, it requires us letting go of what came before and what came before that and what came before that. We're constantly evolving, my friends. We're evolving while we're dwelling in this body, and we're evolving as we move on. That's what we're doing. We're becoming and becoming and becoming, and yet that implies a future tense, when in fact it is everything right now at one time. The depths of the universe are accessible, available, right here, right now for all of us. I hope that blows your mind. I hope God, that three-letter word, I hope that concept blows your mind on a regular basis. All at once in the natural world the other night, I was watching this waning moon, and I was seeing the blooms of the Esperanza outside my patio, and I was watching a little hatchling snake crawling on a cactus that I have sitting on the ledge in my patio, and I was listening to my dog in the yard, and I was smelling the night smells, and all of these were happening all at once, and my limited sensory perception could only grasp a few of those things at a time, maybe just one at a time. So if God has the initiating compassionate gaze, have a compassionate gaze toward yourself as well, because we are in many ways limited by the sensory body. But there is in us, there is in our quietest self, in our most connected self, there is that connection with God all the time in its fullness. And I hope that we dip into it and dip into it and dip into it and continue to dwell there as much as we can. And beloved, if you practice your gratitude and your awareness about that, in the best of times, it will be more available to you in the worst of times. That's what we're doing. That is what we're about in this life. All the rest of it are the details of living that out. And unless we're dwelling in the consciousness of life, we cannot overcome the grasp that our problems have on us. That is the solution, and that is absolute. Yeah, we're going to take care of those details. We're going to do the things that are wise for human beings to do on this earth. Your savings account, your insurance, your doctor visits, your checkups with your beloved, on the health of your relationship, your forgiveness practice, your unfinished business that you're taking care of. Yes, we're going to go about those details, but the origin of doing those things has to be in the consciousness of life. Has to be in a place of compassion for ourselves. It has to be in a place of knowing that God is present in everything that we do. We are not doing it all by ourselves, and if we try to do it all by ourselves, we will be thwarted eventually. And we'll go, why do I have these problems? This book suggests that we call them projects rather than problems. That implies an activity in us. A problem is like, boom, right in the face, isn't it? It just stops right there. And we can't see beyond that hand. A project implies, okay, I'm going to check in. I'm going to follow divine guidance. I'm going to do the next right thing, the next right thing, and the next right thing. That's my project. And sometimes checking in on that project means being still. Just being still. Matt shared with me this morning that Santa is not afraid. Santa is welcoming this next journey. With everything that her body has been through, I'm sure she's ready to set it aside. But I know that that dear soul is also happy and joyful to see what is there beyond her body. And she has that faith, that knowing, that consciousness of life that welcomes the vision that awaits her. Matt told me that they've had many friends that have died young. Everybody comes along in our lives to teach us, you know, especially the ones that irritate us. I almost said something else, but I didn't. He told me this morning that a thought came to him, and he asked me to share it with you, so listen carefully, please. He said through his tears that he thinks when somebody dies, it opens a portal, and that love passes through that portal with our loved one that's crossing it. And he said, would you reach out to the people that are listening today? Because Santa's going with a great deal of love that she's delivering to that other side. And so if your folks have people that they love and they're grieving because they've passed over there, when you tell them to send a little love to Santa, because she'll deliver it. She'll deliver love through the portal to the people you love that are there. Okay? I'm going to give you a moment to collect your thoughts about the people you love that have gone there, that Santa's getting ready to greet, and let her be your love messenger. Matt said, you know, she's like the postal service. She'll do it throughout any circumstance or situation. He said, as a matter of fact, I'm going to make sure the next time I see a postal worker, I'm going to thank them for what they do. So I hope if you're listening, no matter if you're watching it contemporaneous with us right now or watching it later, time doesn't make a difference. Even if you don't hear this until after Santa has gone through that portal, portal's still open because time doesn't matter. If you think of this a month from now, time doesn't matter. Send your love with her. She'll get it. She'll make sure that in that high energetic passage that she can maybe speed up the process a little bit over those of us who are still here. We talk about death because it's a mystery. And yet it makes life so immediate, does it not? It makes it so immediate. And no, we can't dwell in that intensity all the time, but if we can remember, then how can we not be secure in the life that we live right here? the great order of things, the great spirit of things is at work all the time. And so just remember, and in that remembering, your thoughts will calm, your heart rate will slow down, and the creative ideas that you need for your projects will come. Those sweet children have a father who's been preparing himself for this. And we can lend him our strength, our stillness, our listening, as he processes his own grief over the loss of his wife. And listens for the voice of God in sheltering his children, in loving them, in holding them. I'm going to share a couple of other things with you and then we'll close for the day. I hope you can understand why I was a little discombobled this morning. The word secure comes from two small Latin words that mean without and care. Secure, without care. Victor Hugo articulated this by saying, "Be like the bird that pausing in her flight, while on boughs too slight, feels them give way beneath her, and yet sings, knowing she hath wings. Do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? And I'm adding here, or where the next dollar is coming from, or what the world is coming to. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient unto the day. As we move into our meditation this morning, I'm going to share a prayer with you from this book. Continue to send your love through Santa as a divine messenger to your beloved ones. And I've got names that are running through my head right now. And I've got presences running through my head for whom I have no names, because they are beloveds even though I did not know them. Especially those that left us in the last 20 months. So wherever you are right now, just be still for a moment and be quiet. Let your attention be still. Watch your heart rate begin to become more even and measured. Look for the space between your thoughts and go there. I am secure, for I know who I am. A richly endowed child of God, I am secure in all I do, for I know my oneness with the divine process. I am secure in all I have, for I know my measure is in my mind, not in my things. I live my life from day to day, as if God's supportive substance were as exhaustless and dependable as the air I breathe, which it most certainly is. Beloved, make that journey with me this morning into the infinite unknowable. Those words can, without context, incite fear. But surely, they are the most true and comforting. You are a child of the Most High. You were created from the very substance of the divine. You share atomic identity with everything in the universe. And sometimes it is important for us to transcend the space that we occupy on this planet and view ourselves from way out there. That is the divine perspective that will always, without fail, and all the time, provide security and comfort and compassion and inspiration and all the things that are necessary for life. And beloved, as we take this journey today, we do it because soon enough, our feet will be firmly on the earth again. And we will be about the dailiness of our lives. And yet we carry the infinite with us. You carry the infinite with you, beloved. It is right now. It is right here. It is the joy of life. It is the mystery of death. It is our sorrow and our joy. Santa, Matt, Isaac, Wesley, Wheeler, Eliana, little Ellie. we are with you, as is God. We embrace you, as does God. We love you, as does God. And Santa Beloved, we will revisit your smile in our photos, in our memories. Your leaving this earth will not dim the impact of that on us. Fly free. Take our love with you. Thank you for delivering it for us to those that we love. Thank you that, of course, you are doing that in going on just as you did here in this world. Thank you. Beloved ones, for those of you who did not know our friend, you know that she stands as a placeholder for our understanding about life and death, for our understanding about the oneness that we share as people on the planet and as particles of life beyond the body. She is our placeholder today. Feel the love of God. What you're feeling right now, that is it. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Amen.